Vavatu Sahanao Punaktu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadikamastomavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 41. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After speaking in this way, Bali Maharaj offered his obeisances first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and then to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Thus he was released from the bondage of the Nagapasha, the ropes of Varuna. And in full satisfaction he entered the planet known as Sutala. Thus having delivered the proprietorship of the heavenly planets to Indra and having fulfilled the desire of Aditi, mother of the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ruled the affairs of the universe. When Prahlad Maharaj heard how Bali Maharaj, his grandson and descendant, had been released from bondage and had achieved the benediction of the Lord, he spoke as follows in a tone of great ecstatic devotion. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. What to speak of other demigods or common people? O supreme shelter of everyone, great personalities like Brahma enjoy their perfection simply by tasting the honey of rendering service at your lotus feet. But as for us, who are all rogues and debauchees born of an envious family of demons, how have we received your mercy? It has been possible only because your mercy is causeless. O my Lord, your pastimes are all wonderfully performed by your inconceivable spiritual energy, and by her perverted reflection, the material energy you have created all the universes. As the supersoul of all living entities, you are aware of everything, and therefore you are certainly equal towards everyone. Nonetheless, you favor your devotees. This is not partiality, however, for your characteristic is just like that of a desire tree, which yields everything according to one's desire. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 8. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Soham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyo sti napriyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly equal towards all living entities. But a devotee who fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is different from a... non-devotee. In other words, everyone can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy the equal benedictions from the Lord, but non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. We can understand this fact by a simple example. The king or government is equal to all citizens. Therefore, if a citizen is capable of receiving special favors from the government, is offered such favors. This does not mean that the government is partial. One who knows how to receive favors from the authority can receive them, but one who does not neglects these favors and does not receive them. There are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposely defy his authority. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living entity. But otherwise, he is equal to everyone. Like a desire tree, the Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take such shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. One who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is favored by the Lord, regardless of whether such a person is a demon or a demigod. But because he's pointing out they're coming from these demoniac families, how are they getting this special mercy? But it's because they're approaching the Lord. So whoever approaches the Lord, they can get that mercy. But we see is that in general, it's the demigods who approach and the demons who don't. But the point is it's actually open to anybody who does. So it's not fixed that only demigods. No, it's whoever actually reciprocates. So the tendency is demigods reciprocate, demons don't. Does that make sense? That's it. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 8 in Paramartha Sandarbha, Anuchedas 93 and 34. Biasness would only be present if the Lord experiences miseries in his heart and acts for some accordingly. Equal nature does not mean acting the same. The Lord has equal vision but does not act equally. The Lord likes his devotees, and out of affection for them, the Lord's nature is just like a kalpataru. Because you are the beloved of your devotees, love is two ways, and the devotees are your beloved. Although he acts differently, his nature doesn't become biased. Therefore, although he has a nature that appears biased, at the same time, the Lord actually doesn't have a biased nature. Thus, this is surprising. So the word chitram is used. Or it can be explained that the Lord's nature is like a kalpataru, and the Lord is seen to be taking sides with his devotees. But his, quote-unquote, taking sides is the quality of, quote-unquote, being equal. If the Lord didn't take sides, it would not be equal vision. Then the Lord would have the defect of being biased, because someone will be taking shelter of him, and the Lord wouldn't be reciprocating. Therefore, actually, the Lord has a biased Therefore, actually, the Lord has a biased nature, and we would explain it like this, and not explain that the Lord isn't biased. That is not his defect, but his ornament. In essence, the Lord has inconceivable opulence, achintya shakti, and by that potency, all his so-called defects have been removed. Right? So, that he's the principle on which we're saying is not biased is whoever takes shelter, he reciprocates with them. That's the position. It's not in what you see is being done. Right? That's the whole thing. Otherwise, we can say, are we biased towards the elephant and not towards the cow? Because the elephant eats, you know, hundreds of kilos of food and the cow doesn't. And so, therefore, we're biased towards the elephant. No, that's the thing is we take it that the external, the particular form and all that, that's actually the position of equality. Right? So that's where we run into trouble, because we base everything on the secondary. Yes?
So, there's the phrase, egalitarian. So, in the modern context, that's used in the position of rights and opportunities. So here, actually, it's not actually rights or opportunities, it's relationship.
It's relationship, but it's opportunities for a relationship. So either someone takes it or doesn't. Yes, because it's different. Because the thing that we're saying here is he's saying that bias is only present if the Lord experiences miseries in his heart and acts for some accordingly. So it's if there's a misery, that's how it's biased. You're feeling bad, so therefore you act. Or you're feeling angry at this, so then you act. But here he doesn't feel any of that. If someone approaches them, with affection, he reciprocates that affection. That's all. So it's very different. So you can't actually call him biased. That's the point, is that by definition he's not biased. And let's say if he was equal, that he would deal with everybody exactly the same. So those who deal not nicely and those who deal nicely, he would deal with them the same. So that means technically he's biased against those who are nice. Right? So that's the whole problem with the modernist, because it's dealing, or even just the material in general, but the modern tends to represent it. more clearly, right? Because it removes the path of elevation. See, the Vedic, it's not that people aren't materialistic in the Vedic. That should be clear. Karmis are, you know, from the Vedic line. So, but the difference is that you can, if you apply it properly, through the same system, elevate yourself to transcendence. While the modern, there is no method of elevation because it's not meant for elevation. It's meant for degradation. It's meant, okay, it's thought elevation means economically, socially, sense gratification, all that. I elevate myself in that way. And that's elevation. But because we're talking about elevation as consciousness, it's actually degradation. That's why it's not understood, because one appears that for elevation, one is controlling one's facilities. So actually it's going down. But actually consciousness is going up. And the other one, it looks like you're improving the situation by improving the externals, but the consciousness is going down. Right? Yes?
Can we say that on the personal level there's maximum reciprocation, on Paramatma level there's equal reciprocation, and then on Brahman there's no reciprocation?
On one level you could say, because there's no personal, you could say. But at the same time, as on the Brahman level, since it is all the qualities of the Lord, but in an impersonal form. So if you deal with those qualities properly or the mechanics properly, the Lord will reciprocate that. But it's based on mechanics. Well, Paramatma then is based on the law. And then with Bhagavan, it's based on the personal relationship. So in one way you can say, like what you're saying, but the point is Brahman is still the Lord, but he's interacting. There is a reciprocation, but on the impersonal level. It means you follow the mechanics that the laws of nature dictate that are coming from Brahman. Then you follow that. You follow the law. Then you will be rewarded with the results, good results of that law. You break the law, then you'll be rewarded with the bad results. So it's still interactive, but it's impersonal. That's why we think in the world there is no God, because everything's going on and it's all interacting, and we don't see Him like that. But he's actually interactive on all three levels, because, you know, he is who he is. So he's always interactive. And so then, and we as souls are looking for that interactiveness. You know, so in other words, as people we're looking for interaction, but unless one is trained, one doesn't actually appreciate the personal. You know, it's just like, let's say you have small children. Everything's always personal. Right, you even have a doll. If it smiles, then it's nice, and if it's grumpy, then you don't like it, or, you know. So everything's personal. But then, if the dealings with them are nice, then they grow up with that faith in that personal. They maintain it. But if people aren't nice, then they don't. So even if people are nice, they don't trust. Why are they doing? You know, what is their? In other words, people are trying to take advantage. So most people are grumpy and take advantage. This person's being nice and trying to take advantage. So they can't appreciate the personal. So you could say on one level that your generic kind of modern so-called progressive thinking is based purely on that impersonal, that there is nothing really nice, though everyone's trying to be nice. But they're only trying to be nice because that's what you should do. You know what I'm saying? So that's the funny thing, is they're being nice because you're supposed to. You know, things don't go well, you tolerate it, you know, all these things that they mention. But at the same time, when you mention the Vedas, perform your duties, and oh, why am I being restricted? You understand? That's the whole point. So, yes.
I was thinking also the side point that everybody's fascinated with the technology, but it is maximum impersonal.
Yes, it is maximum. Because it's just laws of of nature, laws of physics. So, and that's the fun part. It says all about the laws, it's all about the science. When we mention the Vedic laws, no. So that's the point, is that all these elements are there. People will follow, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. You means you either follow religion or you'll make up your own. There's no question that everybody won't be doing exactly the same thing. But the it means in the principle of what they're doing. It's just how they manifest it that'll be different. You know, as you mentioned before, is that there's those that are that combination of the controller and enjoyer, and then those who are the principle of I'm the friend. Right, and then within that, you get some who are more controllers, some who are more enjoyers, some who are, you know, like this. You know, so. So whichever it is, you're taking one stand on one side, but the other side is also expected. You know, like that. I'm being friendly, by that I consider I will control. I'm being nice, that's how I'll control them. And because of that, I will enjoy. Right? Yeah, like that. So. Yeah, okay. So does that make sense? Yeah, so this is interesting. If he did not take sides, it would not be equal vision. Because as you reciprocate, however you reciprocate, he will deal. So if he didn't take sides, that would not be equal. Because you deal, you don't deal, then you get the same treatment. So the actual equality is according to how you deal is how the treatment you get. So he's equal how you reciprocate with him. You take one step, he takes one step. You take no steps, he takes no steps. That's equal. Right? So it appears biased, but no, that's equal. And what we say is equal is actually biased. This is the mode of ignorance. That's why we say the modern culture is based on passion and ignorance. Mainly ignorance. There's enough passion to kind of create a few sparks so something moves, right? You know, otherwise. Yes?
Well, when we have this, you know, somebody has personally taken shelter of a thing, and he can reciprocate at personal level.
With a thing. I said he takes shelter of?
Senior person.
Oh, senior person. I got thing, or I was hearing Athenia, but then I thought, no, he won't be saying Athenia, so it must be thing.
I also heard thing.
Yeah.
A senior person then?
So authorities are things. So if it's a senior thing, you take shelter, and if it's an equal thing, you don't. Go ahead.
So, then he can reciprocate on a personal level. Suppose...
However someone deals, that's how you reciprocate. Someone's dealing personally, if everything's appropriate, you deal with them personally. They deal formally, you deal like that. However is the dealings, that's how you reciprocate. That's the point.
Because sometimes the complexity arises when the person expecting some managerial output from you, but he's very personal to you.
Yes, but then if you don't reciprocate, then at some point they'll also then deal in the same way. See, is that there's something is started and then there's reciprocation. So in this case with the Lord, we're starting that, we're making that endeavor, he reciprocates that. So that's because he will deal according to, because we don't see what's already before. Krishna's already made this step by creating the material world, coming as the scriptures, as the acharyas, the laws of nature and everything, and trying to create situations in which we could surrender. So that part we don't notice. So from the masculine, he's taking that. Then ourselves as the feminine, how we respond to that, then based on that, that's how he deals with us. So in the same way, then the manager is making that first step to try to create some situation and environment in which then we could take up doing what we're supposed expected to do. Then if we take it up, then they'll reciprocate on that platform. If they don't take it up, then they'll reciprocate differently. You understand? So it's a standard. It's the way things work.
Even regarding Mahabharata, you know, and there is so much of misunderstanding people have in India. The Lord is so much biased to him because he's not dealing well with Karna and others. You know,
that's only because they identify with Karna. That's awesome. What do you want? See, before independence, would people identify with Karna or with Arjuna? Yes. And now after independence, since one kicks out the British but tries to keep the Brit, in other words, the problem is not the British lifestyle, the problem is the Brits themselves, right? In other words, the British lifestyle with the Indians controlling it, now that's good. But the British lifestyle with the British controlling it, that's not good. Right? In other words, why should the British be taking advantage and exploiting the Indians when the Indians can do it themselves? Right? You know, that's what independence means. That's what freedom means. So, therefore, then, with that in mind, then they kick out the British, keep the mentality. So now they're saying these things, because by saying these things, then, oh, he's so intellectual, he's so up to date, he's so modern. You know, you write a book like that, then people will read it. Why, who needs another translation or commentary in Mahabharata? It's already there.
It's actually a book on Karna, you know.
Of course. Of course. But the point is, he's a demon.
Yeah.
That it doesn't mean he's not interested in charity, but he's a demon. Mm. So because people are developing a demoniac mentality, then they'll side with him. It's just the modes of nature. Mm. That's all. You have to remember that the only one that was actually interested in India, you know, and its glory and its culture was Mahatma Gandhi. Every other politician wasn't, except for Bose, but, you know, he doesn't get a mention, really. They all were just interested in their own thing. So you have to remember that in the thing. We're thinking, oh, how can they do that? Because we're saying, why would it be being anxiety? Because you're supposed to make that. It's just like, let us say you have somebody who is already in a particular social status, and they've been there for a long time. Someone else is new in that status. They tend to overcompensate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means the Indians are overcompensating. That's all. It means that if you're from the West, it's very obvious. Amongst themselves, they think they're, oh, so cool, yar, and all that kind of stuff. But for us, it's just like, wow. You know, okay, we've seen, you know, 11-year-old or 13-year-old girls do that. You know? I mean, in our culture, that's where that stuff happens. But by 15, they don't do it anymore. And the boys just never do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Yeah, so they're thinking that the West is sophisticated, but actually the Vedic is sophisticated. Like that. You know, it's like you take a villager here, they're simple and all that, and oh, everyone's so embarrassed. But you ever seen a guy in a trailer park in West Virginia? Like that, you know. You'd rather hang out with the local farmer here. You know, really. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends." The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, "You shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss, due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruit of activities." Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 10. Karma bandha, the bondage of fruit of activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruit of activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandha. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishta Adhikari, or neophyte devotee, is therefore advised to visit the temple. To visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus, the neophyte devotee can be freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. Right? So, the reason we're in bondage is because we're not connected to the Lord. We connect ourselves to the Lord, then we free ourselves from this bondage. Right? So, by regularly going to the temple, seeing the Lord, that way we can transcend. That's the whole idea. So, therefore, for the neophytes, then it's a rule to go to the temple. Right? For those who are more advanced, then they like that. Right? So it's not that you have to go. That's the meaning of the advanced person is above the rules because he goes to the temple because he likes to. The neophyte goes because he has to. Right? We may like that, okay, there's rules, there's structure, and we have to, and all that kind of stuff. But the main point comes down is that one is bound by those rules while the advanced person is not. It doesn't mean the rules aren't followed. It means that there's no need for the rules for them to perform devotional service. Yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, accompanied by Balar Maharaj, my dear King Parikit, Pralad Maharaj, the master of all the chiefs of the demons, took the Supreme Lord's order on his head with folded hands. After saying yes to the Lord, circumambulating and offering him respectful obeisances, he entered the lower planetary system known as Sutala. Verses 13 to 18. Sukracharya compensates the discrepancies in Bali Maharaj's sacrifice. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, thereafter addressed Sukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priests, Brahmahota, Udgata, and Advaryu. So if he's sitting with the priests and you have all four, because the sacrifice requires these four, right? So your Hota is doing the yajna itself, the Udgata is chanting the mantras, the Advaryu is the one that sets up and takes care of all the detail, the arrangements, and the Brahma is overseeing that the other three are doing everything right. So that means each one of them has to know their area, Brahma has to know all three of them, right? So then in this case, if he's sitting there with them, that means he's the Acharya. So the Acharya is then basically seeing that the Brahma is doing what he's supposed to do. Right? The Brahma will do. So the Brahma is on top of the whole thing, right? But seeing that it's going on and active. While the Acharya isn't. He's just overseeing the mood and everything like that. So then in this case you'll have five. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes to verse 13. Hari means the Lord who takes away the offense of Sukracharya because he was related to Bali. You know, because that's the whole thing, is that he's attached to Bali, so therefore because of that, then he gets the benefit. Even though he wasn't so attached to the Lord, but he's attached to the devotee. O Maharaj Parikit, these priests were all Brahmavadis, followers of the Vedic principles for performing sacrifices. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple, Bali Maharaj, who engaged in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmanas. Right? So that's the thing. You have qualified Brahmins. If there's something that comes up that's improper, if it's judged by them, then that whole thing is cleared. Right? So it's not just an assembly of individuals. It's a matter of qualified persons. Right? Even if it's one, then it'll be adjudicated properly. So it's not that, no, we all get together and we all decide that that makes it. No, it has to be by those who are qualified because it has to be based on scripture. If it's just based on feelings, that doesn't adjudicate anything. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 14. When Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj had departed for the planet Sutala, Lord Vishnu asked Sukracharya what the fault was in Bali Maharaj for which Sukracharya had cursed him. It might be argued that since Bali Maharaj had now left the scene, how could his faults be judged? In reply to this, Lord Vishnu informed Sukracharya that there was no need for Bali Maharaj's presence, for his faults and discrepancies could be nullified if judged before the Brahmanas. That's the point, because if the Brahmanas think this is how it should be, then everything is cleared. Because Krishna, you know, appreciates that position of the Brahmins, because they're going according to the Shastra, they're trying to please the Lord, or at least the Lord in the form of scriptures, or the Lord in form of, you know, the Supreme, whatever it is their level that they're appreciating. As will be seen in the next verse, Bali Maharaj had no faults. Sukracharya had unnecessarily cursed him. Nonetheless, this was better for Bali Maharaj. Being cursed by Sukracharya, Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, with the result that the Supreme Personality of Godhead favored him for his strong faith and devotional service. Of course, a devotee is not required to engage in fruitive activities. As stated in the Shastra, Sarvarhanam Achute Jya, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-14. By worshipping Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. Because Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performance of sacrifice. Sukracharya said, "My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Yajna Purush, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or fault in his performance of sacrifice?" Right? So, you know, so now we see the whole pastime, all those things that before we thought were maybe improper, that they're being reconciled now. Srila Prabhupada comments. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the Lord says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. The Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, is the actual person to be satisfied by the performance of yajnas. The Vishnu Purana 3:8-9 says, all the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices are performed for the purpose of satisfying Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purush. The divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu. To act according to this principle of the Varnashram institution is called Varnashramacharana. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:13, Sutta Goswami says, O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the Personality of Godhead. Everything is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, since Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Lord, he had no faults, and Sukracharya admitted that cursing him was not good. But that's Varnashramacharana. Prabhupada mentions that a few times like that. So that means the Varnashram system, where you're using it to please Lord Vishnu, then that's Varnashramacharana. Right? So that's what one's trying to do. Is that so? Sukracharya, since they're all very nicely situated in the scriptures, and that whatever they'll be doing in the sacrifice will be according to what's recommended. So since it's about pleasing the Yajna Purush, then technically by his performance of his duties, right? So he engages the Kshatriya aspect of that he's performing this duty of giving in charity to a Brahmin Brahmachari, and he's fulfilling that, right? So he engaged his Kshatriya nature in the Lord's service. Right? And so in that way, technically, then there's no fault, because that's actually the purpose of it. Right? Because the other considerations are, we're social, he maintains his position, he does all that. So on the platform of karmakanda, how will he continue? Right? He loses everything. How will he continue in karmakanda? Because in karmakanda, if you don't have facilities, you can't do. Like it mentions that how much grains you need to maintain your household situation, right? That is required for 3 years. You have to have that much grain to perform a soma yajna. Right? Because at the Soma Yajna, you're going to be giving so much charity, feeding, doing so much as used in the sacrifice, that without 3 years, you won't have enough. Right? So then the point of Sukracharya is that if he loses everything, how is he going to continue doing his pious activities? But technically, since the purpose of pious activities is to please Vishnu, then on that platform, then him using his duties to please the Lord is actually the higher principle. Because he was looking at it, being pious is better than not being pious. And so by giving in charity, he loses everything, he won't be able to perform the karmakandas activities. So he loses position of piety. Right. But in actuality, since the consideration was devotional, therefore him acting within dharma instead of in artha or niti, as was pointed out by Sukracharya, then he was actually acting on the higher platform, and he was actually acting for the purpose that that platform is for. So manamoya is to please the manamoya purush. It's not for some other purpose. So because he did that, then factually, then there's no fault in what he did. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sukracharya continued, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. That's why Prabhupada always wanted, you know, some kind of kirtan going on during the yajnas, because then your yajna will be faultless. Otherwise, without that, it's a good chance it won't be going so good. Srila Prabhupada comments, we should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yajyai sankirtana prayer yajanti hisu meda sahar. Although Sukracharya was a strict brahmana addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, nischidram anu shankirtanam tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in worship of the deity, there's still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna conscious movement, we therefore give special stress to chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. Right? So, as Jiva Goswami says here, we take care to follow all the principles of every kind of spiritual, in every kind of spiritual activity. So it's not that those rules get thrown out. We say, oh, we chant, we don't need to follow. No, it's we're following, that's what you're supposed to do, and because we chant, then there's no discrepancies there. So the holy name itself is fully capable, and then the lifestyle that's recommended. Someone can say, we don't need that lifestyle. Yes, you could say that, as long as all you do is chant, like Haridas Thakur. But that means, Haridas Thakur, what was his position? Was he a family person? No. Did he have a place? No, okay. And then when he influenced others, that in Benipal, right, then that prostitute, now did she after that, then was she involved in her occupation? No. So, and what did she have? Did she identify with the whole social thing? No. So yes, you can just chant Hare Krishna as long as you drop everything that the whole Varnashram system deals with. We can't pick and choose as we like. Oh, I like the Grihastha part, I have my independence, I got my money, there's sense gratification, I have all that and like that, but at the same time I don't like all these other rules. So they go together.
Why can't you chant 64 with all that?
64 with?
With all the Grihastha ashram, independence, money, and everything.
Yes, you can. That's the point, is by doing that, that works. But what we're saying is what I'm saying is when we say, oh, we don't care for the rules, means I don't care for certain rules. So many rules. Is I don't care for the rules, so I don't care for your not caring for the rules. Oh, that's so judgmental, and all, but that's a rule. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point, is that whatever the position, whatever is not presented is expected. Right? That's the point. Just like you said, the conservative, he expects everyone to follow everything like that, but what's that's spoken. But what's unspoken is that, you know, you're going to be proper and nice and be considerate. But that's not spoken. It's following the rules. Well, the other one's talking about be considerate and nice, but they expect you to follow the rules. That's what's unspoken. So it's always there. It has to be complete. You can't not have a complete package. It's just how well you put your package together. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? If you look at your files like that, sometimes they'll show you how the files are, and they're all fragmented. So you have one file, and it's got something here and something there and something over there, and that's why it gets... So they have these things that will defragment it and put your all of the points of the one file in one place, like that. So that's the thing. The Vedic puts everything in this proper place. The modern has all the same things, but it's unscientific. And because of that, it just creates a disturbance. Right?
Yes.
You know. It's just like, let's say you take the vegetable, you have all the things there, you put the garnishes nicely, you arrange it on the plate, and then you remember, oh, we still have to cook it. You know, it all gets done, but, you know, it doesn't quite come out the same way. You want to say something?
I was just thinking that here we have this pastime and so many things are happening. When we see Bali Maharaj, he's doing all of those things that are described that a devotee should do. He's endeavoring with confidence because he knows that the Lord is there. He's not focusing on justice because he knows that he has that confidence that the Lord will take care. So then we just see here, now he's not even involved in the discussion of what's happening with him. The Lord is having that discussion with the
Sukracharya.
With the right persons.
Yes.
It's not like he's going to have his day in court. You know, he's
yes, yes. It's not that he has to be there and it's my right to hear and all that kind of stuff like that.
So it's really nice, and I think many devotees miss that whole thing, how he's actually behaving in the right way.
Yeah. The right is to perform your duty. All other things that everybody says are rights, and it's just, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, sar er gober. Right. Sar, it means bull. Like that. It sounds great. Everyone likes to espouse these things, gets the bile moving, because if the bile doesn't move, you don't digest lunch. And that, these days, can be sometimes a great problem. So, you know, it's popular. And that's the whole point. Is the thing is if you're dependent on the Lord, he'll take care. And for someone's dependent, the Lord's taking care. Who is the Lord, right? He's the Supreme. So when he takes care of things, he does things very specially. He's known for his specialness. So anything he does, it comes out really good. Because all the things of this world we're enamored by, that's what he does. Right, like that. So, yeah, okay. So that's why Prabhupada says we give special stress to the chanting, because that's the main. And because we're conditioned, we require the lifestyle. That's why then all the principles, we take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity. Because we're not transcendental. If we were transcendental, we wouldn't have to follow them. But because we're transcendental, there would be no reason not to follow them. Right? We have reason to follow or not because of our attachments or repulsions. But someone who's transcendental, they have no attraction and repulsion on the material platform. So if this is what you're supposed to do, you just do. Does that make sense? Okay. Shukracharya continued, Lord Vishnu, I must nonetheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious and is the first duty of everyone. Sukadeva Goswami continued, and in this way the most powerful Sukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifice performed by Bali Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two questions. First, he cursed Bali Maharaj for no good reason. And there would be no reaction for that, for him?
It's all because we said that the Lord inspired him in that way, so it's all part of the pastime. But at the same time, but now he's having gotten the blessings of the Lord, then he'll also live on Sutala and all that, so it'll all work out.
And the second one, what are the discrepancies?
And these means that the main discrepancy, as he was saying before, because in consideration of karma kanda, he was not acting properly. And so in that light, that's where he got cursed, because the benefits of following karma that he got the heavenly planets and that position, then he's not acting properly, so by the curse of Sukracharya, that he lost.
My point is that it says the discrepancies in the yajna, so it's in the procedure. He was just...
Well, it may be they didn't finish it or something, or, you know, because he says here, maybe discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regular principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancy in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. So it'll be something in that. So then those things they'll take care of. Because anyway, even if you're doing everything properly, everything goes properly, still at the end of the yajnas, there's always the achidra dharana, these kind of things where you're begging for forgiveness and doing those things that will, if there is any mistake, that will be nullified. So from that point, even if you take the in that case, that's nothing wrong, it's just, then that means he finished the sacrifice. Because in other words, he came during the sacrifice. And so it doesn't say the sacrifice was over and then he came at that point, and then it means he came when the sacrifice was still going on at some point. And so then it had to be finished. And in the finishing it, the last thing you do is compensate for any discrepancies. So it could also be that aspect. But the main it was talking before is that Sukracharya was looking at it from the point of benefit and loss in karmakanda, while Bali Maharaj was looking at it benefit and loss in terms of dharma and but engaging that in the Lord's service, that varnashrama charana. Mm-hmm. Right. So that aspect. So it's higher. It was a higher principle. And so then in that way, he's not right. So that's been established. And then whatever there may have been in the yajna, that's done. That's part of the yajna is doing that. So it just means they finished the yajna, while Bali Maharaj didn't even have to stay around. Right? He gets the benefit of all that, but he can go down and enjoy himself. The Brahmins stay there. They do their and do their job.
On which level is karma kanda?
Sorry?
On which level is karma kanda? Like, you know, we have the...
It's on the level of dharma.
Manamoy.
But in here, what he was using as techniques to maintain, it was niti. So that's down in arta. That's down that's in the pranamoy level. You're using the technique from that platform, but he's using a lower technique. So it's not that you have to drop the consciousness. Just like, let's say, someone on the consciousness of pranamoy may, to get someone who's more developed in consciousness to agree to their materialistic proposal, they'll quote dharma. You know, like that. But it doesn't mean it elevates their consciousness. So in the same way as one may be on that's higher level of consciousness. Because dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these four function together. So he's just using them for the purpose of karma. Devotee.
Sukracharya,
yes.
He did that. With
yes.
Bali Maharaj, he quoted karma.
Yes.
Dharma, then he was not supposed to.
He would quote dharma, and then he also.
To break his promise.
Quote niti. He used everything. Yes.
So his consciousness was karma.
No, consciousness was on the dharma.
Sukracharya.
Yes. Did you catch that it can go either way?
Yes.
So when we're saying dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are engaged in the Lord's service, or engaged for liberation, or engaged for sense gratification, fruit of activities. So you can use it on all those levels. When you give up the varnashrama, that's when you drop below that. Or you can't even be following it. All you're interested in is the artha. So then you can have a lower conscious, or you're only interested in sense gratification, so you're willing to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of whether one's theistic or not. Theistic means you stay within situated in from dharma as the position, then you act. And if to situate yourself lower than that, by consciousness, then that would mean then you're atheistic. You're not theistic. Because it's not based on the Lord. The modern, we do this because this is how people do and this is what we need, that's atheistic because it's not based on the Lord. So that's the whole point. The modern political correct position is atheistic. Yes. Yes, because the point of it, why anamoy? I like this, I don't like that. What's it based on? Is it something to do with God? No. The laws of nature? No. Pranamoy, that we all get together and we cooperate according to how we say we should cooperate, then we will all share in the profits and enjoyment. Where's the Lord in this? He's not there. So it's only when you accept that my duties are there based on varnashrama, that then it becomes dharma, then it becomes actually human life. But now to use that in the Lord's service, that's varnashrama charana. That's devotional. That's anandamaya. But where are you going to situate? You have to have a form to do something. Just like I want to cook lunch. Can I do it without a kitchen? Okay, I could have a really nice kitchen, I can have a really simple kitchen, but the point is, without a kitchen you can't cook. Right? So therefore, varnashrama means human life. So human life, you engage in the Lord's service. Right? So now human life can be interested in fruitive activities, human life can be interested in liberation, or human life can be interested in devotion. Does that make sense? But you have to be doing something. This idea is, we'll throw out the Vedic system. What will you replace it with? Because you have to have a social system. You have to have something governing that this is how it's done. So instead of it being God says, you create a bureaucracy, and then people just, how they feel, then they say. They project, this would be this, that would be that, but it's not based on Shastra, therefore it'll always be faulty. You understand? That's the whole point. So we're switching it to, you can be on this higher level, but be materialistic. We have to understand is that the West does not have the franchise on being materialistic and being successful. There's that idea that only they're successful, that what they call their first world, they're all successful. You understand? We have to remember that first world, by its original definition, means those countries that support America. This is literal. Right? Second world meant those that supported Russia. Third world means they weren't taking sides or couldn't get it together and even figured it out. Right? You're trying to figure out, what happened to the bucket, because, did the dog steal it, or, did the cow walk off with it, like that. So therefore, you don't get involved on that level. Now it's come down to because of the Cold Wars, at least it has been gone, doesn't mean they can't be created again. Then that means then they made it economic. So then first world became those who were of a certain economic status. Second were just almost there. Third were those are starting to develop. They weren't. And then, you have down, fifth world down here. Like that. Does that make sense?
So Shukra Acharya's consciousness, I'm still not sure where on these five levels his consciousness was, because he didn't want Pali language to develop to Krishna, because he wanted something for himself, as far as I understand.
That's the light point of it we're pointing out. The point was is that he's connecting that Bali Maharaj can't perform his karmakanda activities if he doesn't have money.
So that's
what we said before. Now it's been pointed out, of course, if he's going to do the karmakanda activities, then he needs a priest, and Sukracharya be the priest. But that's not the main thing that's there. It was just pointing out that if you go underlying, then it's there. But even if you say Sukracharya is doing it because of the benefit he'll get, how is he getting that benefit? Through performing his duties as a Brahmin. So, therefore, he's situated on that platform. Understand? Yes?
Just previously in the Purport, it was mentioned that Sukracharya and all of his priests, they were Brahmavad.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, that even puts it higher. So I think the term can be, means generally we take it Brahmavadi, meaning that they're situated in the impersonal understanding. But it also can be Brahmavadi means that they're situated very nicely in following the rules of scripture. Like that. I think where was that described? Can't remember, I think. I think Prabhupada, because we didn't go through that when in here. I think it's in the Krishna book Prabhupada's talking about that. He explains about the different kinds of brahmacharis and then how they're how they're approaching the vrata, their brahmachari for a day, you know, or their brahmachari for
you explain that for
those kind of things like that. Yeah, so then there I think it also means that, but if we take it from here, from how it's been used in this context, that means they're on the, so that means they're even on a higher level. He's on the platform of Vijnanamaya, right? But his student is, you know, been showing the platform of Manamaya, so therefore he's advising him how he's going to maintain that platform. Yeah. We have to be able to take what's the bulk. We can't see if there's one fault, throw it all out. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the difficulty, is that we tend to, oh, he has this one fault that eclipses everything else. So we have to be careful of that. Okay. Verses 19 to 31, Indra reinstated as the king of heaven. Sukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikit, thus having taken all the land of Balimarj by begging, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamanadev, delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemy. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha and all other Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka, the Manus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu and Angira, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamanadeva as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kasyapa Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. O King Parikit, Indra was considered the king of all the universe, but the demigods headed by Brahma wanted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the protector of the Vedas, the principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to the higher planetary system, and liberation. Thus they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the supreme master of everything. Right? So Indra is the king of heaven, but still, Krishna is his master.
It's Manvantara or no?
From what I can see is here by the definition, he is the Manvantara avatar. Because he's protecting the interests of Indra. Yes?
I think Rupa Goswami also mentioned that he's both and Leela avatar as well.
He's both. Okay,
that's
yes.
What I remember.
Yeah, because most Manvantara avatars you don't hear about. They're just there and they, you know, now and again you hear that there's something that they've done and for the interest. So then the Leela avatar means it's predominantly the Leela. So for Vamanadeva, the Leela is the prominence. But it may be he's also like that.
I think Sri Rupa Goswami mentioned three different places that Lord Vamanadeva is still residing within the universe. One is down in Sutala, and another one's up on Tapaloka with the four Kumaras.
Oh, okay.
And there's still
okay, so he just stayed with Indra for that one, his term. Okay. Resides on top of Loka. Yeah. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. Therefore, along with all the leaders of the heavenly planets, Indra, the king of heaven, placed Lord Vamanadeva before him and, with the approval of Lord Brahma, brought him to the heavenly planet in the celestial airplane. Right? So we can see as only Krishna can satisfy everyone. He satisfied the demons. He satisfied the demigods. Right? He satisfied his parents. He satisfied his brother. Right? He satisfied the devotees. So that's the thing. If we take shelter of Krishna, then one can deal with all these things. Because otherwise, if anybody else was dealing on such a contradictory way, how would he be appreciated? Right? Not so much. But because he's the Supreme Lord, then people kind of have to accommodate that he can do all this. Right? So, yeah. You know, because everybody will have their method on how to define what's right and wrong. But right and wrong is defined by Krishna. What pleases Krishna, that's right. What doesn't please Krishna, that's wrong. That's the actual position. Right. Yes.
At an hour level, we usually see that some people say this is what pleases Krishna, and other people say just the opposite, and they also claim that this pleases Krishna. It's very hard to see who is right, who is wrong, because Krishna is not like Ravana in front of us.
But you have the that's why we have the acharyas, their teachings, and so then you have to discuss it from the from that attitude. What's the purpose of it? That's why we're getting into such fine detail, you know, in all these things, because otherwise someone can say, why do we need so much detail like that? But all that detail is there so that we're able to understand how. Too much clothes. Okay. how to interpret it, how to understand, that's the point of hermeneutics, is what is the way of looking at it. Otherwise, all the six schools are quoting scripture. Right? But the problem is in it's what is their purpose in it. So that's why then pure devotional service is being defined, because we can use all these other points. Because the Vedic literature means it can support all six philosophies. But the point is, what has the acharyas given us? How do they do? How does the Lord define it? So that's why we use that hermeneutics. So that's why we study it to the point we can understand what is karma, what is beyond, and what is our involvement. You know, what is personal, what's impersonal. Is that makes sense? So based on that, then you can understand these things. Because what people say is one thing, what they mean, that's the point that has to be seen. So just based on what's said, then you can work out something. But then beyond that, then you have to go behind why. You know, because what's the ablative? The ablative is why it's being done. What's the cause of it? Someone's coming forward speaking very nicely, but what's the cause of them doing that? That will be very different. So then you have to, if you can't see it on the main, then you look at what's behind. So the intent. Okay. Indra, king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus regained his rule of the three worlds and was reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Kartikeya, the great sage Bhrigu, other saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka, and all other living entities present, including the inhabitants of Siddha Loka, and living entities who travel in outer space by airplane, all glorify the uncommon activities of Lord Vamanadeva. So that when it, because many times it points out living entities who travel in outer space by airplane. That's the Vaimanika deities. It mentions in Manu about that there's those who fly around in airplanes. So it must be that they're a particular group.
Yeah. Otherwise, how would they travel?
The Siddhas travel around without airplanes. They just themselves, like Narad Muni, he just travels on his own. No need of an airplane.
Nobody flies on fine carpets?
That, I'm not sure. The Prabhupada mentions that they'll be flying around on carpets. I wonder if that means it has to be a special carpet or just by mantra any carpet. So.
There's a statement also somewhere about traveling being carried by pigeons.
Oh. It's kind of a big one.
Maybe just a lot of them.
Some of the pastimes will see any carpet they can fly.
Any carpet. Okay, just you know the mantra then. Okay, good to know. That would be good, right? You could fly over to the temple with your own carpet, plunk it down in front of the deities, chant your japa there. You know, like that. You don't have to worry about the cold floor, you know, like that. And then after offering obeisances and then fly out, you know. So just make sure they have both doors open, right? One of the floods is that we're in the temple room, you know, for the period, and some devotee comes in a canoe, right? You know, just straight in the front door and not taking darshan. And it goes around, circumvents the deities, and goes out. Yeah, so, like that.
Once you mentioned Asikanamacharya, that mean pig.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Say Rasikananda? He was saying that somebody, he was sitting in the morning when he's brushing his teeth, he's sitting on the wall and just brushing his teeth, and then somebody comes, another devotee comes running in and, you know, so excited and all that, says, come, you have to see in the town square, then there's this, or village square, whatever, there's some yogi and he's flying around on a branch. You have to come see this and that. And he wasn't interested. He kept pushing, till he kind of got annoyed. So then he took the neem twig he was brushing his teeth with, sat on it, flew around a bit, came back, sat on the wall, and continued brushing his teeth. So then I think the devotee kind of got the idea, okay, he's not interested. Yes. So there you have boat. When there's a flood, when it's cold, you use a rug. And when you need to fly around, you can use your neem twig. Right? You know, so. I say, rat deka kola becha, you get to brush your teeth and fly around. Right?
Can you do both at the same time?
Hmm?
Can you do both at the same time?
That I don't know.
You have two. Two twigs.
Oh, two twigs. Yeah, okay. Yeah. One for tomorrow. Right? Okay. O King, while chanting about and glorifying the Lord, they return to their respective heavenly planets. They also praise the position of Aditi. Right? Because by her devotion, she got the Lord, and he came and performed this wonderful pastime.
So, Tali, it was saying that it's a heavenly system. It's not a planet?
It's a Tala. You know, it's below. It means the Earth is that what the eighth. So below that are seven others. Like, so the Earth is the biggest. It goes all the way out almost to the edge of the universe. Well, the other ones are only 10,000 yojanas across, you know, on down. I mean, it's not bad. It's 80,000 miles. You know. So that's how they all. So then I'm not sure what the top one is, but the bottom one is Patal. And then Sutal is, I think, like... It's like second one down or something. Okay, it's third one down. Like that.
Sutala has been referred as hellish planets here.
Anything below the earth where there's no sun is hellish and it's lit by snakes with jewels on their heads. Can't be normal.
Because in fifth canto, Prabhupada says it's to be Villaswarga, that is.
Yes, but they think it's just like you go to the mall. You think it's great, but other people may not think it's great. Right? You have a nice garden you could walk in, and that. You go to the mall to walk around and this and that, but you could be outside nice gardens and, you know, deers, lakes, swans, you know. Does that make sense? So it's just that you know, they like the that environment, you know. It's like living in a mall. Okay.
But it's different from the Naraka philosophies.
Yes, there's hellish planets that are below, but they're below Patal. Yeah, but that's specific. But that's where you're punished. But when you're finished punishing and you come back and you have your particular form, it's made out of the gross elements, then you fit into the 14 planetary systems. But when you're being punished, then you're in one of these, like that. I think, what is it meant? 25 are mentioned? Or
26.
So those are main.
There are many more.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's so many more. Hundreds and hundreds more, because you have to get exactly just right, Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, exactly how tall is the mountain that you're tossed off of? How big are the rock waves in, where you're landing? Like that. So, they have to adjust all those things.
So one person, one planet?
Sorry?
One person, one planet?
No, not necessarily.
Because it's very hard to get them all the same.
Well, it'll work out. That's the potency of Maya. She gets everybody exactly. You're a blade of grass, but you have to be in exactly a particular spot. It's just like you're that grass down next to that pukur right next to here. So then in one sense, it's really good because you're close to the water, so that percolates up the soil, so you're green more than the one out in the field. But then in rainy season, then, you're spending so many months underwater holding your breath, right? So then, well, the other grass, then he's nice and green during that time. Yeah, so like that, they get it exactly. Omaras Pariket, pleasure of your dynasty. I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamadeva. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activities. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Trivikrama, Lord Vishnu, any more than he can count the number of atoms on the entire Earth planet. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vasishtha. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 29. Vasishtha Muni has given a mantra about Lord Vishnu. Na te Vishnur jayamano na jato na mahimna param anantam apa. Apa. Footnote 14. Rigveda 1, 151, 1. No one can estimate the extent of the uncommonly glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, there are so-called scientists who are subject to death at every moment, but are trying to understand by speculation the wonderful creation of the cosmos. This is a foolish attempt. Long, long ago, Vasishtha Muni said that no one in the past could measure the glories of the Lord, and that no one can do so in the future. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord's creation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 10:42, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The material world consists of innumerable universes. So he says that a single fragment, it means very little. Right? So the amount of energy it takes for him to run the whole material creation is not hardly anything. Like that. So all the energy goes into the spiritual world. That's why it's wonderful, and here it's not so wonderful.
So Mark, the 3/4, 1/4, is that just...
That's just by volume. But by how much energy is being applied, then we see it's a fraction is here in the 1/4, and all the rest is in the 3/4. Yes, yeah. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord's creation. Okay, last time. time's up.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini.